break. It's a mini episode.
Hello and welcome to another mini-sode of You Gotta Check This Out with Mike and Dre. I'm the Mike, and this week we bring to you the spectacular debut of the bodacious Batman. Yeah. We also hold our nerd cred with some Batman-Superman debate before deciding how we would fuck up each of the superpowers. I supply some similarities between music and comics before exiting to fix some internet issues. Enjoy all that and the usual mix of outtakes for the main episode. I'll see you at the other end. I am not a Batman reader, but you have me. I just downloaded it 2 days ago on Hoopla. That's the next thing in my queue I'm actually going to read.
What does that mean, you are not a Batman reader?
It's been so long since I've read just a straight up Batman.
Everybody's a Batman reader.
I understand it. No, I understand
like, yeah, Tiff, I read the Gotham Central recently, like last month, because I went back. That's from the aughts. It's all about, it's what the show Gotham was made from. So it's all the Gotham Police Department. I like that kind of stuff. I like Ed Brubaker's criminal
More
stuff.
More grounded shit. Aside from this, yeah,
like I've trended towards all the Image stuff, like this, the power fantasy and the Hickman stuff on Image more so than I do the DC. Plus, I was always a Marvel guy. Marvel was my jam, especially Marvel Cosmic. I remember growing up like Thanos and Adam Warlock. Those were my guys growing up, and no one else fucking knew about
them.
And then here I am, like I'm, you know. Later on in life, like everybody is talking about Thanos, like he's in the zeitgeist with the MCU movies. What the fuck is going on? This is like my childhood coming back, like the thing that I knew and no one else did.
See, yeah. I'm not going to judge you because I'm not a Superman guy. I've never really fucked with Superman books, to be honest, because I'm like, I don't know, they just always seem so one dimensional.
Yeah, you got to have something. There's the Red Sun one was cool, but it was just like a one shot Elseworlds, or Grant Morrison's All-Star was cool. But I remember when Trinity came out, that's when I was heavy into Marvel because they were doing this. Oh, this looks cool. This is like an entrance point for me for Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. I got 10 issues and I realized I just was not following the story or into it at all.
Absolute Batman's good because he's broke now.
Yeah, I heard that. Oh, yeah, man. You've definitely sold me on it through some stories.
To be pedantic, I'm like, by not a reader, you mean have read and will read.
You get to see each character is a degree of how far did they want to go? How ambitious are they? Because a lot of reading it the fourth time through, I'm looking at Magus's character a lot and like his power motivations, like the things that motivate him to actually just start the pyramid and to get more and more followers. But we're getting into the plot. We're going to get into all of this talk. I think before that, we have one more thing we wanted to ask Tip to see if he wants to join the team. So far, we're making superpowers for ourselves and how we would be on the superpowers, what our atomic post would be. Oh. But of course, we don't have that much of an imagination for where we can go. So my guy is Jaunty Mike. I can make elaborate
hats. I thought you were Jaunty Hat Mike.
Oh, yeah. Jaunty Mike.
It's got to be Jaunty Hat Mike. I mean, I'm out if you're just Jaunty Mike.
Yeah, it is that JH I have. Okay, makes sense. And then you're Macadrena, because as I make the jaunty hats, you make everybody.
I can make everybody dance. And then also, I didn't tell you this, Mike. I slipped this in. You think it's Macarena, like M-A-C. It's actually M-O-C-K. I also am good at puns, so I'm a punster and a dance maker. All right. And on the last episode, Karen Slater is able to give anybody plates that can just generate any food they want. The key point is Karen can generate the plates. Karen can control the power of the plate. So she can give you a plate. She can turn it off if she wants. She is the plentifier. So that's so.
Yeah. Basically, she knows when you've had enough and she makes you stop. But until then, you can make more cannolis or whatever it was appear at will.
So in terms of our power fantasy, that's our three supers we've got. So Tiff, if you want to play along, do you have a Omega level, but it also has to be kind of silly, level power that adds you to the squad?
This is so tough because I can't think of anything silly. I'm a comedian, but I can't think of silly shit.
We might get copyright strike for this, but I think you should be Batman and your power is you can take any super out with a bat. You got a bat that can take any super out.
What's funny is there's a guy like that on One Punch Man where he's a part of the S tier level of heroes. And he's just the dude with the baseball bat. So you're right. I could be Batman, but I just have a baseball bat. Because I do try to find people that I could fuck up with just a baseball bat. I want it to be as semi-realistic as possible. That's why this comic was so hard. I was like, I can't take out any of these people.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were hoping for that to be a segment.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you at some point, like, how would you, if you had to, fuck up the six superpowers in this book?
And to really be clear, here, this is a regular segment on your show. Go listen to Sus Stories, people. It is so great. This is why we listen. We were so excited that you were really, like, will you do it on the show? And you're like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Because I came up with one on the spot to see if I could start us out here.
Please.
To see if there's something that, came up. Like, so
Magus is the most human, so he'd be the easiest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like, he's just a mask. So that your bat philosophy works there.
Yeah. And, like, bullets and get a gun. But then when you get what?
Once he hits 50,000 followers, he can take a hit from a superpower and still stand. Yes. That's what he says in there.
But he hasn't yet.
I think we got to kill all of his followers somewhere and take them out.
Space. You blow up the pyramid.
Yeah.
But you take him out. But the hardest one is Etienne Lux, because he knows what you're thinking.
Well, what I thought for him is I'm going to start up several social media campaigns where we're all going to text, killing yourself and as many superpowers as you can at once is the only ethical thing to do. And we're going to put that in the zeitgeist so far that Etienne grabs it and it affects him and he figures out, I'm going to take out myself and figure out a way to take everybody else out with me. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, and Heavy took a shot from a fucking laser.
Oh, yeah.
You can't fuck with him.
Yeah, because he just puts himself back together.
Yeah.
So here's what I think. I'm going to wait. Since every next right-wing president tries to take out Heavy, I'm going to get right there next to him, and I'm going to bring a bunch of burlap sacks and grocery bags full of marbles and balloons and some rusty bolts and nails, just fucking throw them out all over the place as he's trying to reform, and he can't. You can't reform because you got rusty shit all in you.
Make him drink hydrochloric acid so he just disintegrates.
Oh, yeah, man. Put it, like, on his THC drink right there, because, like, he's like, kind of like, oh, yeah. He's gone.
The premise of this, basically, is kind of a Watchmen, like, take the X-Men, but you can't use them proper, so you have a Charles Xavier-like character. And all of their weaknesses are really humanity-based, personality-based. Heavy's weakness is definitely women, right? If we're talking, even Mike's scenario, right? To get yours, Mike, you seduce him. You have a honeypot that does have, like you're saying, rusty nails and stuff. Get him to think he can use his gravity.
Are you saying you're going to take one for the team, Dre?
Yes, I don't think I'm his type, but sure. The problem you have...
Oh, he was with Blue Lady. He's got all types.
Yeah,
well, you know,
he does, yeah. And he was like a hippie.
The problem...
Like, he does not have a type.
Here's the question I'm going to ask. So, Tiff, you get to be the guest ref on this.
Okay.
For Eliza and Masami, do you consider it a win if they basically destroy the universe? Technically, if they take everything else, they took themselves out. So literally, you could just tick either of them off. They destroy reality. It counts.
I think you got to go Dom Toretto rules on that. Whether it's an inch by or a mile, a win's a win.
Cool. So actually, Mike, then those two are the easiest, right? So you honeypot Heavy. You literally just tick off Eliza. You insult. I mean, oh, man, as a stand-up comic and an artist.
Or you kill her girlfriend.
Oh, I was like, insult. I mean, I guess her girlfriend's going to die anyway when she destroys the universe. But I was going nicer. I'm like, you make fun of her art. You're like, or you go for the girl. I'm like, oh, this guy.
Whoa, this guy went to another level.
This thing discussing killing heroes. Guy.
That's why we bring in the pros, Dre.
But like the issue with the art guy, the art critic was like, your work's mediocre. She took that beautifully. So I think she might find you roasting her refreshing.
She's a narcissist, so if you hit that part of her that kind of has that self-hating artist at the same time with giving her a little spoonful of sugar to take it down, that's how they keep placating her.
All right, that's interesting. So Mac is pretty easily... Did we get them all? I think Etienne's the hardest. I did Mike's over... He's a psychic.
The Angel Lady.
Angel Lady, isn't that impossible as far as we can tell?
Yeah.
I would just say you'd have to get a lead pipe blessed by a satanic priest and to take it to the skull.
I'll give us 5 out of 6. I think we just have to take it. And I agree, like, no lead pipe, no cuteness. Like I said, that's an assistic errand where I was just like, I'm sorry. Even though these come out 2 weeks apart, I'm like, I can't have back-to-back episodes.
It's okay.
Where I get waxed. Okay. And we did Babylon 5, of course, towards the end. It was trivial when we were doing that quiz between.
Well, it can only help the podcast if you feel good about yourself, Dre. So I'm all for it.
Oh, wait, do I become a kaiju secretly? And you're like, let him win the damn quiz if he doesn't.
I have to give him a few points or the earth is going down.
Look, I didn't get blanked. So I got one.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I think you knew all five, too. That's the thing. I think.
I mean, the There was one tough one in there that I was like, oh, what the fuck was that one? But I did know most of them.
This was an easier quiz. I spent more time trying to fit like off album Steely Dan songs as all the categories and make those fit.
Love it.
I mean, I would say about playing music, if I want to have a show a different, I play bass.
Yeah.
So if I want to play a different style for somebody, I think of it like, hey, I'm going to play yellow for this guy, do this type of style. Then I'm going to go to red, but do yeah. Then I'm going to pull it back to green for this other saxophone's going to come out. But just changing it, having some other yeah. sense to describe as a metaphor with what it does. If you can feel that in a comics, he's doing something. Yeah, right.
No, this was tremendous.
So far, every time we have seen those, oh my gosh, everything flips moment panels. We've had multiple now, heavy getting hit.
Yeah.
I agree. Like yeah. they're noisy, right? It immediately hits you. And I do think they do an amazing job of going soft and loud if we're using the same metaphor.
Yeah.
Dynamic.
And what I love yeah. about how these seem to work is the loud comes in the middle and the soft comes at the end of most episodes. But if this makes any sense, the soft resonates louder than the loud. So, you know, those like stingers at the end when Etienne's, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? I'm ethical in this world, right? I just told him. He admits he's the villain and is, but I'm the right one. And at the end, all of the end panels that have these tiny things are somehow louder than these big splashes in the middle. And that the juxtapose of those is what makes it work so well.
It's all about the dynamics. Like the Spielberg thing is like the big splashy images and action scenes don't mean anything if the softer scenes yeah. don't set you up for that. There's not a contrast between that. And this book, just like it's this pace, that's amazing. Yeah,
fuck, even the end of the last issue where Etienne gets the message, he's in a fucking dark ass room and it just says he has a kid that has powers. And you just see him yeah. be like, fuck, that's heavy as shit. And it's
dark. There's a lot of not white space, but there's like yeah, empty yeah. space that's black all around him. And rather than filling that up with stuff, it just like lets it sink yeah, in. Like, as that
this
image.
Is exactly what you should focus on right now. This, and it's incredible. Well, it's one of those things where it's like, I'll see other comics, like YouTubers, especially go for 30 minutes on a book. And I'm like, it takes me fucking 5 to read it. This is crazy. The actual review of the book is maybe like 80% of the podcast because I like have other segments, but I also talk about shit I've been doing for a few minutes because I just don't want to jump into it.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it solo too. Almost all of them are just you yeah. talking to the ether for a while. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it on the mini-sodes, but I always have to have a script right in front of me for at least part of that to just have something to look off of.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I do script like all the episodes. I do like I got better about it because it helps with the editing too. I don't know if this is too nerdy, but like heavily scripting it up front, like really just makes it easier to edit on the back end.
I still, with the love and respect of my podcast co-host, have a documentary filmmaker style. So I don't mind just recording a lot, knowing we can cut it down. Mike and I on this show, to stay nerdy, we edit together. So I'll do a first pass. He does a second pass. So, oh. But yeah, and I think, but I do think, yeah, it's like the ideal world is you script, you edit. I will say I was impressed with your edit turnaround time. Staying behind the curtain on my episode with you, I was so excited to listen to the episode. I did my edit and offered to you and you said, nah, it's cool. You did yeah. it. And I was actually happy how close ours ended up. And so you are a ridiculously good editor. I was impressed by
it
that.
It seems, I don't know, it seems like a dick move to have you on as a guest and then make you do shit. It's if I invite you to my house and I make you do the dishes, I would never yeah. do that. You're a guest. Everything that happens here is my responsibility.
But I'd say flip side, like if I came to your house, I was like, I got a good guac recipe. I'll go make it in the kitchen. That's fine, but I understand
yeah.
both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so what we do have.
So you're editing this shit. I'm not editing this.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, you're editing our show. Give me a second. Let me see if they're like doing a bunch of streaming or something downstairs.
Okay.
When I was in college, I did write when World of Warcraft came out.
Yeah.
I lived in a nerd house, and I swear if the internet dipped a little, people in that house went crazy. Yeah. It was wild.
Wait, so this podcast like video or just audio?
Just audio. I mean, I think we yeah, like okay. being able to see each other. It does definitely. I do think that does help the dynamic.
A little, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just be able to.
If his internet is acting up, he can just go camera off.
Yeah, we can do
so
that.
So all the bandwidth sure. is for the audio.
Yep.
Are they streaming? Or you just have headphones on yet?
Is that better now?
Did you heavy the like switch and stuff into the atmosphere?
Yeah, I had like this, push it all up, turn it into a tiny meatball, and kicked it out heavy style. Oh my God. Tiff, have you ever read East of West? That is such an East of West move. Hickman, it's one of my favorite Hickman books.
I think I tapped out of East of West 10 issues in.
Yeah, it's big. It's huge. That's one of my favorite long-running really series, too. Yeah.
I don't know why I tapped out of it.
It's easy to... It's so unique. It's so different.
Oh, actually, apologies, Mike. And hopefully I'll keep us to bedtime. But I did want to get this one in, too. We do have our origin stories on readers. So last episode, I thought I was a major reader, saying I would read books in the dugout at Little League. I'd read books in the car at night. Mike said he lost friendships over reading movie novelization books as a kid. And Karen admitted she worked at Walden Books and hoarded stolen books underneath her bed and then had a friend walk her around school so she could read. So I've got to imagine that you're a nerdy kid, nerdy reader as well, or maybe not. Who knows?
No, I was a nerdy kid, but I was also just a weird sales kid. I was just a very weird sales kid. So my brother and I would get doubles of comic books, but I would sell pages of my comic book at school. So I would literally just sell pages of comic books to kids at school.
I just rip them out and sell the pages individually?
Yeah. Nice. But like it was like a dollar a page. So like,
that's pretty good, especially those days.
Yeah, so I'd take a $1 comic, but kids were like, oh man, I want like these pages. I don't know how I talked these kids into buying pages of comics.
If the art was that good,
I think the art was that good. It was also like just... but these were like, it was just like Jim Lee titties. Yeah. But I would just sell pages.
This is amazing that you and Karen both have stories of working and then literally.
I was in third grade, though. This is third grade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like the Cheesecake Marvel issues and the swimsuit ones of X-Men, those were like the prime Cheesecake stuff for that days. In the third grade, dollar a page. And get you what you need.
I've broken up with a lot of girlfriends because of comic books, too. I remember
it was Magic the Gathering for me, I think.
I remember I was with this woman and I was living in Hollywood in some just shitty apartment. I didn't even have a bookshelf. So I just had my comic books on the floor, just around my wall. And she was like, what would you do if I just went and stepped on your comic books? And I was like, I'll break up with you.
And she was coming
back. Yeah. She was like, well, what if it's an accident? I'm like, well, it's not going to be an accident now because you said you're capable of that.
So, we got some Etienne like logic now. It's like, now that's out in the world, we know the
answer right away.
Yeah. It can't be an accident if you've already thought that you could do that. That's why I like him a lot. I like his logic and I understand that he has his own ethics. Because I operate just purely on logic a lot of the times where it makes people uncomfortable. But especially at work, and I guess my marriage. But yeah, if she's, hey, what would you do if I destroy your books? I'm like, yeah, I'd be fucking pissed. An accident. There's no way it's going to be an accident now. You've brought that scenario to the world.
Yeah.
Right. Is that crazy?
This is great. I love this story. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I'm disappointed in myself for missing this. When it came out, I might own it somewhere, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, my pool collection is like every independent first and Marvel and some DC. So yeah. I might own it somewhere. But
this was pitched to me as, hey, that Kieran Gillen, he was writing on the X-Men books and just took all of his notes of what he couldn't do at Marvel and made his book with those notes. And it's basically what happened.
Yeah. And it's fucking awesome. It's really fucking good.
Yeah, my days of getting a pull box and tons of comics are way behind me. But I love going to comic stores and I need to have just one comic that I'm following issue to issue, one or two, just to pull me in the store. And this was that one at the time. Right now it's Die Loaded. I'm getting him. I'm waiting for Power Fantasy, the next one to come out. But it's good to just go in and support stores like that.
Die Loaded.
Yeah, that's his. Die is another. We were talking about that because it's got the six characters. It's like a Dungeons & Dragons style fantasy where these kids are sucked into the D&D world.
Oh.
But then it picks up with them later on as adults where they're sucked back in. And you've slowly learned more about why and what happened there.
I've seen this, yes. Okay.
Great illustration. I did myself a disservice of reading it on my phone for Hoopla. And it's these, like Stephanie Hahn draws these great big watercolor like illustrations. It's amazing.
Yeah, this book looks phenomenal.
Thanks again for listening. Next week, we cover Volume 3 of The Power Fantasy with Logan Trent. Thanks for sticking around with us. And if comics don't satisfy your inner nerd, check back in a few weeks out and we'll have something new for you to check out. In the meantime, the best way to help us grow the podcast is to recommend it to a friend. We appreciate you very much for listening. Cheers, all.